Welcome to the Eagles Nest Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this recent message by Senior Pastor Tim Winter.
Can we hold the children for one more second? Because I know. Mitch, stay up here, and Nick and Nathan, could you come on up here? Eagles Nest Church, I know that you, our family has been gathered here by the Lord for many years, but we continue to reach the generations and with local outreaches, international outreaches. As you heard, Sister Carrie touches a lot of churches in our region, and many have partnered with her for her Mercy's Light ministry for unwed mothers in Africa. You see her if you want to know more about that, and that's important. But something that is near and dear to my heart, your pastor, and this is a hill that I'm willing to die on, but I know that when you're in the will of God, you don't die, you just keep growing. Yeah. But local commitment and fidelity to your call. I pledged this one. I can't remember. No, this one. To my wife and all of that, and that's important. And it was so important to Jesus. The last words he spoke before he left the earth, as he was ascended into heaven, and you think it's all over. Well, really, it had just begun. And these were his words to the apostles that saw that as an eyewitness. Now, you go forth into all nations, teaching them to observe the things that I've taught you, and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and so forth. That really means to immerse them in the nature of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean to dunk them underwater. It can mean that, but it's more than that. But then he said this, and this is directional. He said, start in Jerusalem, and then go to Samaria, and then go to the uttermost parts of the earth. It's concentric. And so we're involved in local outreach here. And I want to honor a Marquette student and University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee student Nathan and Nick. Nick led us in worship this morning. But if we can have those pictures ready, they'll flash them behind me. On Friday night, you guys go ahead and tell. Because this here, I hope they got the slide. You're the class of, what class of?
I'm the class of 2022.
2022?
I suppose technically I'm 2021.
2020, where's Stewie? You stood up there and said you were the class starting in 2005.
I was in 08.
Oh, well, you stay here once. But this, the class of 2039 was there. And so tell a little bit about the worship. There's the class of 2039. They were up there on the stage. There was hundreds of youth there. Nathan and Nick, just talk a little bit, because church, get your hopes in Jesus who saves all men, reaches every generation. The college kids are on fire for Jesus. Let's hear about it.
Yeah, so MSOE, downtown Milwaukee, this past Friday, we, as a worship team, we're blessed to go out and just anoint all of the college kids in the area. It was super exciting. People were jumping and praising and crying and lifting their hands and just on fire for Jesus. Just everything that you love to see at a worship night, the reason why you go, to just encounter Jesus. And we were just blessed to be a part of that. And it was just an amazing time.
Do you have a crowd shot, Wendy? I have a number of angles. I've graduated to the photographer and the grandfather. I was privileged to be on those stages and lead. But in leading, you're seeding. I said, in leading, you're seeding. And I've seeded my children. And now my children are seeding another generation. And Stu, when you got up there and led one of the songs and said, you know, in 2005, I stood in this very... You say it. Say it again like you said it.
Sure. So, Jay, it's cool you're here today. You remember our early zeros. We were on that same... Todd Weir area, if you went to MSOE or you're familiar, we were in that back in 2005, singing and praising Jesus as late teen, early 20-year-olds, at least starting for myself. So it's totally divine in the Lord that he's resurging this team, which is a very unique gift, to go out and inspire others to get crazy for Jesus. We don't do it here. I mean, we did it a little bit at the end of the service, but we literally had the whole group. God was there, and they were all jumping for Jesus. going crazy like you'd expect to see at a club. They were doing it for the Lord. And that's why in large part we exist. It's beautiful.
The music was good. In fact, the music was outstanding. I want to honor both these men. These men trained and were groomed and nurtured here in this house. So we're about the future. This isn't about me. It's about Jesus. And he said, do this in every generation. Do it to all people. And those that say yes, you'll grow together. These have said yes. You guys did an outstanding job. The music was good. But no, this is where we need to clap, because we'll be joining with the angels. I prayed and I was in the back. I saw when the altar call went up. I saw hands. There was about 285 people there, because I was working with the engineers. And engineers, these are cranial people. They're really smart at MSOE. And, you know, I wasn't one of them, but I really appreciate that when you take off on a plane, it can land again because the engineers do their homework. I said, so how many are here? And we cut, you know, head count, about 283, 285. Every hand went up to come to Jesus. Whosoever comes to me, I will never cast away. Those are 280 people that have eternity seated into them to bless the colleges and your vision, the InterVarsity vision. I'll help you. I was going to take a picture of their slide. There are 19 colleges or universities in the state of Wisconsin, of which 7 have a presence of the InterVarsity Christian Fellowship there. And they go back to the 1800s. And that began with people like you guys that said, I'm not going out to party on Friday night. I want to do my homework and then and haul church people out of college. Thank you, Christian, for coming from university this morning. I want to honor that. You know, we're honoring the wrong things. We got to honor the right things. But they said there's a 7 colleges where they have a strong presence, and their goal by 2030 is to have every college and university in the state of Wisconsin strongly represented with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. So how many of you are glad 289 people are surely going to heaven in the college? Amen and amen. You have a word. Say, when's the next event? And it's not age discriminated. I mean, one gal came up to me. She said, oh, Pastor Tim. I said, I remember you. She said, I've been doing this for 20 years. I said, oh, you shouldn't have said that because you look like one of the students. Well, I hope I still look like one of the students. I feel like one, but you can come. Come and cross-pollinate with the youth. Come and cross-pollinate with the professors. Let's build a family of God. Let's seed eternity. And singing is good. But here's the reality from a grandpa. Singing is kind of, or the worship and the lights and all that, it's kind of like the chum in the waters. If you want to go catch something, sometimes you got to throw some free bait away. So the music and the popcorn and all that, that's the bait that brings the people, and Jesus touches the heart. Thank you. Now let's honor these college kids. Thank you, guys. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So, Desi is a Carthage alum. Mitch is a Marquette alum. David's a University of Wisconsin alum. And we have Carol. We have all kind of... Stacy, thank you. Thank you for all of you. All of you. Let's honor the educators and those educated. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, class of 2039, yeah, you're meeting downstairs. Class of whatever they're at, you're up here. I wanted to give time to that because so often people will come on Sunday and they don't understand what's going on behind the scenes. We honor our food pantry workers and our cleaners and everybody. But thank God for the college ministry. Amen. All right, you can open your Bible to 1 John chapter 1. Thank you for coming. Will you take a Bible nearby? I'm going without a PowerPoint again today. In fact, Mr. Nick, would you get ready for that song? And don't wait on me. I'm going to commission you at about 11:15. Would you come up and just start to play that long song? The Highlands and whoever you need to make that happen really, really well. Wasn't that song precious and powerful? I still don't know all the words, but I'm catching the life overflow from it. And it's well constructed. Who wrote it, Nick? I'm going to find it. Did he write it? Pastor's kid. That's awesome. Huh. The gospel is completely presented in that song. The plight of man, the deceitfulness of sin, the strained heart of a person, but the forever available grace of God. And aren't you thankful for the grace of God? Whether you're in the high place or the heartache, God is there and God is here. Will you agree with me? Father, will you just open the windows of heaven right now, which are our spiritual eyes? We've washed them with worship. We've been fragranced. We smell good. You're here. You are good. We've sung of your goodness. Now will you make a spiritual deposit of eternity into our hearts that will never ever leave our lives, and will equip us to serve you and to love one another, even as you have loved us, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. 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 All right. I want to talk to you today. About declaring Jesus. We've been in 1 John. And the scripture says this. That which was, verse 1 of chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Now he qualifies or reinforces his statement, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and His Son Jesus Christ. And these things we write unto you that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you. Second time we're hearing the word declare in his writings as we read. And that's the title of my message, Declaring Jesus. Declare we unto you, and here's the beginning of the message, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Then he moves to man. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, those are powerful words. It's a summation of the gospel. It's also an overview of John the Apostle's life as he was in the end of his life, kind of recounting what was important. And he gives a walkthrough of the purpose of his epistle. And allow me just to remind you, he begins with an eternal message. I'm not here to share anything new, no new preacher jokes, no new angle. This is about Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, and the blood that he shed on the cross of Calvary. It's an eternal message. It's come into my lifetime and it's come into yours. And I'm inviting you to say yes to that offering of love, which is a gift of life through Jesus Christ. Will you say yes to that today? So John is touching, like any good communicator, get beyond yourself and go to something that's age-old, strong, and historical, a bulwark for your point that you want to make. And he goes to the eternal message, which is Jesus Christ. And then he goes to the mode of which you can understand, or how it comes. And it always comes through hearing. In the womb, we're told that the baby, the first sense that develops is the sense of hearing. Hearing the heartbeat of the mother, the flow of the circulation. When the blood pressure's high, I mean, you know, well, you can hear in those sonographs and all that. So John says, that which we was from the beginning, which we have heard. And may I point out, I want to invite you, this is class or family participation. It's family style. You know, I'm glad I have a son-in-law named David. I don't know how long his arm was. It was way longer than mine. And when he's sitting at that side of the table, I said, David, can you get me that leg over there? The last chicken leg. Woof, he's got it. So this is family participation. So you want to have a good reach. But here's the point. He said, that which was from the beginning. Okay, so that's not personal. That's the object. That's objective. Now, let's get personal and subjective of this. That which not I have heard. This isn't about me. This is about us, that which we have heard. We have heard the message, and we establish that. So we hear first, that which we have seen with our eyes, we see with a passing glimpse, we see in a moment, you see, did you see that, you know, driving up north, did you see that deer? No, I didn't see it. Well, too late. Okay, now it's a whole nother, so that which we have seen, you see the message of God is light, God is love. And then that which we have looked upon, he moves beyond seeing with a glimpse to fascinating with a gaze. That's stop. Look. Can I have the binocs? Whoa. That's an 8-foot. Look at the spread on that thing. No trespassing. Hunting preserve. All right, let's keep going. You know, that's fascinating and learning. That's what John's talking about. And then he didn't stop there. He actually said, and that which our hands have handled. We talked about touching the presence of Jesus. And because he's not here anymore, I don't want to get weird, but I do want to be honest. You touch the Lord's presence. You touch him when, number one, remember our message? You worship him. When the woman of repute broke through the crowd in Simon's house the week Jesus was betrayed and just gets to the front, and I don't know what she was wearing, but she was a woman, broke open her alabaster box, started, you know, her soul is being healed. She's weeping. I felt weeping back there today, and just of overflow as they're singing about the highlands. I've been up there, but I've been in the low place too, and he's there too. This woman was touching Jesus with her worship, and we've touched him. So I've got about 9 or 11 minutes. I want to invite you to do that. We're going to make some declarations here today. This message goes from today into tomorrow and to help the rest of your lives. But I want to ask you to say yes to Jesus, that I have not only touched the message of eternal life, which is Jesus Christ, his son. I was with a team of businessmen yesterday. May I take a moment, a little commercial, pause for a commercial break. It's like screen and screen, picture and picture. Pastor Lowell Nye was an evangelist. Yesterday he was ministering, I don't know, maybe 45, 52 businessmen. I was like the kindergartner there. I mean, these guys are, I'm not going to call them old, but I was the youngest one there. And the guy next to me was 93, and he's challenging me in the scriptures, and it's going all around, and Lowell was preaching. I want to honor you, brother, that the gospel was so clear. The anointing from the Holy Spirit was moving, and I was just watching. I thought, man, I know this preacher. That man taught my son piano when he was a little boy. Communicated anointing. And I remember one time Stu coming home. I'm still in the commercial. Just watched it going around the track. There's nothing happening on the main message right now. So I remember one time Stu coming home. Dad, you know, when I was at the Baptist, I'm learning all the schematics and pragmatics of piano. And I said, Lowell's, I'm over there. I said, yeah, how's Lowell doing? I know he's a worship leader. He's a great, great man of God. Well, he's got me learning, you know, classics and studying this, but all of a sudden, he just goes back on his couch, leans back, and says, play. I said, what'd you do? I said, I hope you played. And it's true. I said, Stu, he's trying to get you to feel what's happening. It's not about the mechanics. Someone's pouring oil on Jesus' feet right now. Absorb the moment. It's not about the mechanics. Oh, he didn't baptize him in Jesus' name. I'm not really baptized. I can baptize you with my spit and you'd be okay. It's about what God is doing. So thank you for these 90-year-old people, men that have, you know, more money than time left. They're wanting to do something significant with it. They said, Pastor, you're the pastor? Yeah, well, he was preaching today, but he sure did a good job. Well, I want to talk to you. And God's building relationships. But so you touch people when you, or you touch Jesus when, number one, you worship. But number two, you touch Jesus, Matthew 25:35, unto the least of these, whenever you feed them, clothe them, invite them in, when you minister to their illness, or the illness that's afflicting them, it's not really theirs, and you visit them in prison or come to them when they're lonely, you're touching Jesus. So there's ways that we can touch the Lord. I want to invite you to do that. And then John says, those things that I did and saw, I'm here to do something, and that is declare. Say declare. Declare. I don't know what movie it was, but I remember the line, well, I do declare. If somebody is, you know, in my stage, what movie did that come from? Hillbillies or something like that? I don't remember. It's Granny. But there's a sense and a, of declaring, and there's a need to say something when something is worth saying. And we're talking about declaring the word of Jesus Christ. Yesterday, I was at another businessman's place, and he's an excited man of God. He's one of our partners in the farms that the Lord is bringing us to steward and to turn back into healthful, productive, clean soil farmlands and croplands and walking and hiking lands. The land speaks the glory of God. Psalm 19 declares it. I was with him, and he's a Gideon, and he said, "Dope, Pastor Tim, you know, his business was closing. He stayed there after just to be with me, and I was so grateful." He said, "Yeah, I'm doing a PowerPoint presentation for the Gideons, trying to get more churches to help support. And there's, I put 100 dots on my PowerPoint, and 5 of the dots are Christians that share their faith, and 95 are Christians that don't." I said, how'd you come up with that?" He says, "Well, Gideons do all the research. You know, just go ask. In fact, have a show of hands. If don't be disappointed, but just raise your hand if you got to share the gospel in the past week with somebody. I mean, literally, yeah." So. Okay. We're better than 5%. Let's thank the Lord for that. Amen. Here's my goal. Every person activated and empowered to live for Jesus Christ. And if you're not sure, my door is open. I want to help you be sure. And if I'm not sure, I've got men that I could call. They'll help me understand the things of God. I want you to get to the place where you declare. The Greek word for declare is apagelo. It comes from euangelio, or angelo, which is what God used to describe the angels. They're simply messengers. And so when God wants to get something established in the earth, he'll usually send a message or a messenger. And he doesn't roll it up, send it in the bottle, and throw it in the ocean and hope someone finds it. He sends a message to a destination. Jesus said this in Isaiah chapter 61 through his servant Isaiah, 714 years before Jesus came. Jesus prophesied through him, and he said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, maybe to anoint me. No, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because. I'm here with a cause. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach glad tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison of them that are bound. And plant trees of righteousness. Jesus quoted that same thing on the inauguration of his ministry after he was baptized. He said the Spirit, when he went back to his home synagogue church there in Capernaum, he had already left Nazareth. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me." I want you to say this: the Spirit of the Lord, is upon me because he has anointed me. Now you finish that with your life story. These guys that were so anointed at Milwaukee School of Engineering. I am so thrilled for the kingdom of heaven and what's happening in our generation through people that I get to influence. And my pastoral influence upon you is now inviting you to be a declarer, be an announcer, be a message or a messenger. Let me tell you that this came to me. I got about 4 minutes. I'm glad because I didn't want to tell you my case study, which is between Mary and Zechariah. I want to save that for next week. I felt like this would be an exciting kind of almost like Super Bowl preview. But if you haven't declared Jesus in a while, it's very simple. All you got to do is start with your willingness. Because it's modeled through Jesus. In John chapter 1, listen to this. Because there's only one true declaration of the Father. In John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, God, and without him, God, was not anything made that was made. In him, God, was life, and that life was the light of men. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Going down to, well, then it says that there was a man sent from God, his name was John. It goes on to talk about him. Then down in verse 14, this is important. And the Word was made flesh. The beginning Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now, this is the same writer of this gospel that wrote the epistle. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which our eyes have seen, which we looked upon and our hands have handled, that what I'm declaring, this is also his writing. And so he's saying that Word, what was from the beginning, was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory as of the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John the Baptist bare witness of him, cried, saying, "This is he of whom I spoke. He that comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." So John had a glimpse of the eternity. In fact, he didn't have a glimpse, he had a gaze. He was looking at him. "This is he of whom I spoke. For he was before me, and of his fullness have we all received, grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Now, these are familiar words. Gospel of John, chapter 1. Listen to verse 18. This is what the Lord spoke into my ear. I love my dialogues with the Lord. He called me to hear his voice, to be a messenger, to be an angelo, and to preach. Don't add to it, don't take from it, but I want you to get this. The true declaration of the Father is only through the Son. No man has seen God at any time. Can we say that together? No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, say it, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared. And then the English adds the word him. But him isn't really there. The core of that message is that no one has seen God. No one can claim that. And the only begotten Son, the unique Lord Jesus Christ, is the only one in the bosom of the Father that declares who God is. So when I was with this group of businessmen, and on the way home with another businessman, God has put me into a season of my life where he's entrusting me with people who are going to face eternity very shortly. And the man said, "Well, the minister, I know the man. He's trained my son, and he said something about Islam. He said something about the Muslims. Pastor, what do you think about that?" And I said, "Okay, Holy Ghost, he's driving. I'm parking on his nickel. I'm not going to offend someone just because I could." And the Holy Spirit said, "Don't say anything." And so I just held my peace. I've learned to hear the voice of God. And within about 5 seconds of an eternal silence, because I know the answer, he changed the subject, started talking, was happy as a lark. I didn't have to offend. I realized when you're walking in the light, as he is in the light, you have fellowship. You have fellowship. And no one's dying on my watch today. In fact, I ask the Lord that every person that attends this service would have eternally secured salvation assured them through my words. Paul told that to Timothy. All those that hear you will be saved. God gave my daughter a song. All that come here, none will be lost. Don't you want a pastor that believes in what he's doing? My goodness. So I'm here to declare what Jesus declared, and that's the love of the Father. After verse 18, let me read it again. If you're in John chapter 1, read it along with me. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, that's Jesus. John, the writer of the gospel, is, and this was the last gospel written. He summarized it, and come on, get ready, musicians. Help me. I want to ride the rails of worship. I want to invite you to declare with worship that you're ready to be public about your love for Jesus. Some of you are livid with lost people. And maybe you don't even want to say it, but I'll say it for you. Jesus would tell the religious leaders, these are the five-figure income leaders. He said, "Your converts are twice the child of hell as you are." Now that's either going to fill heaven or empty the pews. Because when God sends a message, he sends it with a messenger. This was a message coming from heaven to people to get right with the Lord. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. So how do I declare the Father? Let's keep it down, but yeah, like that droning that song starts with. Father, will you send heaven to fill this place right now? If any of you are living with someone that isn't sure, or you know they're not sure, then just say to the Lord, "I'm willing." I said, "Lord, how do I present it?" He said this, "Well, ask them if they're willing to be a declarer. If you're willing to be a message or a messenger." Now, you become the message when you live in obedience. You can be a messenger even if you're struggling with disobedience. God still loves you. This song says that His love doesn't change. Tim changes. I'm not making the same mistakes I made when I was first in ministry. John said this, "No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him." Period. New paragraph. And this is the record of John the Baptist when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask John the Baptist, "Well, who are you?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." They asked him, "Well, who are you, Elijah?" "No, I'm not Elijah. Are you that prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said unto him, "Who are you, that we may give an answer to them that sent us?" People need answers around you. Your boss needs an answer. Your ex-wife needs an answer. The drug addict down the street needs an answer. They don't even have the questions, so you need to posture your life in order that you can get into their lifestyle conversation and be the question that you already know the answer. I can't wait till that man, I said, "Well, that's interesting." Going back to the Islam comment, I thought, I'm not going to let the awkwardness and the strength of truth right now topple over my mercy. Because mercy rejoices over judgment. So the Holy Spirit said, "Don't say a word." And I can't wait till the time He said, "You know, Pastor, you sure have been teaching me about God. I'm just learning from Him about business." So this is what John says, and this is what Tim said. "It's not about me. Who are you?" He said, "I'm the voice of one crying in 2019. John said in the wilderness, because that's where his ministry was, "Make straight the way of the Lord," as the prophet Isaiah said. And then he said these words, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." You want to start reaching out to people effectively? Tell them about the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the whole world. And then you can get specific. Let me tell you about when I was in high school, bound to pornography instead of doing homework. That man is dead. He died when Tim came to Jesus. But maybe that man in you is not dead yet. Jesus loves you. Let me declare the Father's love. He's waiting for that opportunity for you to come to the altar, break through the crowd. They're going to look at, there goes Tim. Well, that church will fail. I'm glad man didn't call me to the ministry. I didn't go to seminary to get appointed to a church. The Holy Spirit called me when I was 17, and He's still sustaining the call. He's still adding to the church. He's still forgiving sins. He's still poured out anointings. John said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world." I could say it this way. It's not about me. It's not me. It's Him. How do you declare? Well, if Judah was here, I'd get him on my back. Is he here? He's outside somewhere. This is my little example. I get him on my back, or Ariel, the other night at the worship thing, I had them both. I just love being a grandpa. They said, "Grandpa, Bumpa, Grandpa, Bumpa." One says Bumpa, one says Grandpa. "Horsey, horsey, horsey." So I get him up there, and I, you know, "Run, horsey." And I'm running, and I said, "What is the horsey?" They're declaring what they're feeling. Do you have feelings for Jesus? Have you been washed and made new? Have you been born again? Have you been filled with the Spirit? You got something there, yeah! About. Thank you, Jesus. Say yes to Jesus. I want to invite you to make some declarations. Thank you, Jesus. See, God speaks. And He puts a period there.
Samuel.
Hey, Eli. What's up?
I didn't call you. Come on, work with me. You've read it 69 times. Go back to bed.
Okay.
God speaks because he's got a message. When God has a message, he likes to send a messenger. I'm a messenger. I have a message. Especially those of you that have been bereaved. You've lost your wife. You've lost your wife. You've lost your husband. I've lost my mother. God's going to fill you with overflowing comfort today in a few moments as this song is sung under the anointing. Let's have a full cast. Stacy, Kathy, everybody come and get a hold of the Lord and wash these people. Samuel.
I didn't call you.
I heard my name. Second time. Go back to bed. You should have said, "Go back to bed." Okay. He's now Samuel's wondering, I'm not as old as him, and I'm not going to call him senile, but I definitely heard something. Samuel! Third time he comes. Did you call me, Eli?
No, but God did, and they go back, and when he says, Samuel again, you say, your servant hears you.
Okay. See, here's how it works. God speaks a word, or God sends a message, or a messenger. We hear, watch this, this is how it works. We hear, and we process. Some process and never reach the goal of the message. Junk mail, lost call dropped. So understanding doesn't come. The enemy works against it. And then after we hear a message or receive a messenger, we hear, we process, we understand, we decide to believe. We decide to believe or not. In this case, we decide to believe. And then with David and with Paul, Psalm 116, so God sends a message or a messenger. We hear, then process. We decide to believe or not to believe. I don't believe in that baptism of the Holy Spirit stuff. There's no such thing as gifts of the Spirit. God sent a message. Time process it. Someone withdraws and recoils. So they miss the flow of God's growth and development. They stay stuck. Next week, I'll tell you about someone that stayed stuck when the angel Gabriel stood right before him and said, I've come with good news for you. I'm going to bless you and give you a son of promise. Oh, but don't say. So we process, and then we speak what we believe. I have believed. I want to ask you to stand to your feet. David said this, and Saul said this. They both said the same thing. I have believed, therefore have I spoken. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 13. David knew the Lord. David knew the Lord, and yet he said, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. Saul did not know the Lord. David knew the Lord and was found in life going the wrong way after he committed adultery with his friend's wife and had his friend killed in battle because he had the authority to. It troubled his soul. Saul was going the wrong way, persecuting people. He didn't know the Lord. His soul was troubled. Both were stopped by the Lord. And both were turned around by the Lord's grace. One was stopped by a bolt of lightning. The other was stopped by a riddle from a prophet. What do you need to hear today as a message from God to move you forward? They both found out about the mercy. And they both would testify in due time of his uncompromising, steadfast love and goodness that endures forever. Now, Father, as we sing this song, I want to invite you just to come to the front and be a family. And as it were, just say yes to Jesus. In particular, I want to save the front of this for those that have lost a loved one. I want to pray for you under the anointing of this minstrel house that God has raised up here. Will you come, elders, lead the way. Come. Don't wait when the water's troubling. Come to Jesus. Mark and Jack and Kathy, will you come? Jeff, will you bring your friend? Nobody praying for anybody. This is about you and Jesus. Come. Let's fill this altar.
Thanks for listening to a recent message by Senior Pastor Tim Winter. Please visit EaglesNestChurch.net for more information.